It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I've had a gap in my show prep here. This whole time I've had a gap in my show prep here. I probably shouldn't be sharing this inside baseball long over the air. But, you know, earlier this week, when I started getting tips from you, from our listeners, and started seeing some other chatter out there that on X and elsewhere that a Billings high school teacher had basically, there were screenshots of him allegedly celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. So, you know, what I did, I reached out to school sources, figured out what the story was, confirmed everything, verified everything. You know, you got to be really careful with this kind of stuff before you start, you know, throwing allegations out there, et cetera. And so I checked it all, verified it all, got the story on our Montana Talks website that, yes, this Billings Public School high school teacher is under investigation for allegedly celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And on top of that, was sent home while the investigation is underway. But there were several other stories that, if you were following X at all, the Montana Politics hashtag, or just seeing social media responses, there were a lot of other celebrations of this assassination by left-wing professors and activists, etc. And so anyway, after I had, you know, confirm that story, I thought, you know what, there's a few other examples that I need to run the traps on here, that I need to run down. And you guys probably heard MSU Northern, Montana State University Northern in Haver. There was a story there involving a faculty member that had made some insane remarks, basically celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And anyway, so I reached, and then there were a couple of other examples there. There was another individual that was identified as a University of Montana staff member or professor. So anyway, I reached out to the Office of the Commissioner of Higher Education just to say, hey, can you give us an update on these stories? What's happening? Which ones of these are legit, et cetera? So I reached out to Galen Hollenbaugh. The Office of Commissioner of Higher Education, which oversees the Montana University system. And so first, with regard to the MSU Northern case, because I had gotten an email from one of our listeners saying, hey, I heard the chancellor from MSU Northern had gotten called down to Helena for some meeting. So I thought, okay, let me go check, see what's going on here. First here, MSU Northern has confirmed that they have placed the identified faculty member on administrative leave as they evaluate the situation, and then they added this, Ochi has no comment on campus personnel matters. The University of Montana confirmed that Miss Running Crane, which was another example that was thrown out there on social media, is not a current employee of the University of Montana. But anyway, back to this MSU Northern story. You know, I've been checking the KTVQ television website every single day because usually they share all of the other pertinent MTN stories from their other affiliates across the state. KRTV actually did a story on that MSU Northern professor. Huge story. I don't remember ever seeing that being shared by KTVQ television. And it's just interesting that even within one specific company, you can see the way that leftist media tries to bury big stories like this. But good job by KRTV. Need to check their website.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area today, high temperatures will stay in the upper 70s to around 80. Clear and quiet for tonight with overnight lows in the upper 40s and lower 50s. And then the outlook for Saturday does call for more sunshine with highs around 80 in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. And skies stay clear Saturday night with lows in the low to mid-50s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
I'm Chad Pergrin with the Speaker's Lobby. Don't expect the House to vote to extend President Trump's temporary takeover of the Washington, D.C. police. His authority technically expired a few days ago after the 30-day emergency order. The Senate could block the extension via a filibuster, even if the House passed an extension. President Trump doesn't think Congress needs to vote on an extension, and Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser says there's a framework for the guard to be in D.C., and she's actually supported efforts by the administration to crack down on crime in the federal city. Congress is also addressing crime with other measures. Lawmakers are specifically looking at youth crime. Senate Majority Leader John Thune says it was, quote, yet to be determined what such a crime bill might look like. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley of Iowa is involved in preliminary talks with House and Senate Republicans, as well as the Justice Department. Thune says he and House Speaker Mike Johnson must discuss what they think they can pass through Congress and deposit on the president's desk. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Big topics. Big ideas. Big Sky, Montana Talks.
Yeah, apparently I need to be sure to check the KRTV website every day. So, yeah, a little inside baseball for you. You know, they always joke in the intelligence community, never reveal sources and methods. But, you know, this show is a pretty open book. So we always quote the sources that we use for information. And what the heck? One of the methods that I use for show prep is just because, frankly, you could spend all day doing nothing but scanning different news websites, scanning different pages for information. But, you know, all of the Montana Television Network TV stations, you've got KRTV in Great Falls, KBZK in Bozeman, KPAX, blah, 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 et cetera. You get it. So typically, you can go to one of their websites and then basically get the gist, get the main news for all of their websites. And then every now and then I'll see, you know, different things pop up in social media. A similar deal with, like, the Lee newspapers. Okay, if the Helena IR has a big story, typically it's going to show up in the Billings Gazette. So you can go to the Billings Gazette and typically see what you might get in the other Lee newspapers. Not all the time, but it's interesting how even within an organization, even within a company, that you will see kind of this liberal bias where it's like, okay, here you've got a story where a professor at Montana State University Northern was allegedly celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Huge story for Montana. You guys probably saw it all over your social media feed, right? And good job by this reporter. I need to go back and let me see so I can give credit to the actual reporter who did the story, because, hey, we do that sort of thing around here. We give credit where credit's due. Anissa Coomer, I think is her name. Anissa Coomer had the report for KRTV several days ago. And, yeah, I missed this one because the update here is that this doctor, Samantha Balemba Brownlee, who is an associate professor in the Department of Criminal Justice, has been placed on leave. The report from KRTV, which again was several days ago. So the mistake I've been making is I was going to the KTVQ website, just assuming that, okay, if there's a big story that KPAX covers or that KRTV covers of significant statewide, you know, impact, it would be on their website. But you know, don't get me wrong. They've had some good reports on their website, especially David Jay. David Jay has had some very interesting reports here that have caught my eye lately. He's been doing some great coverage of what's going on out there on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation with the tribal government and the turmoil there. Yeah, maybe I'll talk about that one here in a few minutes as well. But yeah, this story, the reason why I was looking for an update is because, you know, we're seeing a lot of stuff flying around on social media. And, you know, like most things, if where there's smoke, there's fire. But you still gotta check. You gotta make sure everything's accurate. Okay, they're claiming this person is a professor at the University of Montana. Well, check with the University of Montana, because they may be a former employee that may not be an employee at all. And one of the examples that was shared from the University of Montana is apparently somebody who is, you know, no longer employed at the University of Montana. But this MSU Northern case, I reached out to the Office of the Commissioner of Higher Education, and they told me this, that MSU Northern has confirmed that they have placed this faculty member on administrative leave as they evaluate the situation. And, hey, maybe I missed it on the Montana Politics hashtag on X, but I didn't see this story there. And so usually my assumption is that, okay, if I don't see it on this site, it's probably not on those other TV station websites. But if it's a big enough story, it'll pop up in the X feed. But, yeah, they really tried to bury that one deep, didn't they? All right, let's get into the big news of the day here. What do you guys think is the big news of the day? You can message us on the Montana Talks app, or you can call in 406-294-0970. I think this is the big story, not just of the day, but this is one of the big stories here that absolutely has to happen. President Trump earlier this week announced that he will be designating Antifa as an official terrorist group, which absolutely has to happen. Mark Thiessen was on Special Report with Brett Baer yesterday, and I like how Thiessen basically gave the definition of Antifa and said, well, that's exactly the definition of terrorism.
The president also announcing this morning on Truth Social that he'll label Antifa as a terrorist organization, saying he's pleased to inform our many patriots Antifa, designating it a sick, dangerous, radical left disaster as a major terrorist organization. Basically, the administration, Mark, is going to follow the money here about maybe where some of those riots, some of those protests, and how they're funded and supplied.
He's 100% correct. Look, the federal law, I actually wrote defending him on this in 2020 when he was thinking about doing that. And I looked up the federal law. Federal law defines domestic terrorism as activities that involve acts dangerous to human life that are in violation of the criminal laws of the United States and of any state and appear intended to intimidate or coerce civilian population to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion. That is a textbook definition of what Antifa does. They use violence against innocent civilians to try and change government policy. And in the first Trump administration in 2017, they actually put Antifa leaders on the terrorism watch list. So there's a long history of this, and I think he's absolutely right to designate them a terrorist organization. They are.
Remember when there was a group in Portland doing a prayer vigil, and they were singing Christian songs, and Antifa went in and started attacking the kids, and it started attacking a prayer vigil. That's who these domestic terrorists are.
Securing America.
The United Nations General Assembly meeting kicks into high gear in New York Tuesday. Matt McCool is the special agent in charge of New York's Secret Service Office.
This is the largest gathering of global leaders on the planet. There will be more than 150 world leaders and their spouses converging on Manhattan.
Special Agent Brian Wood of the Diplomatic Security Service says the challenge is simple.
The ultimate goal is to keep America safe and secure while welcoming our own representatives and the world's diplomats.
During a news conference Thursday, New York Mayor Eric Adams delivered some good news.
There are currently no known specific or credible threats against the United Nations.
The NYPD is partnering with federal agencies, including the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, and the Pentagon, to keep things safe. Wood says,
this is a total team effort.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
October 7th is the date Charlie Kirk was scheduled to be back in Montana at Montana State University for a big event there. What else happens on October 7th, the anniversary of these horrific terrorist attacks against the peaceful people of Israel? Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Coming up on Friday's show, our good friend, the rabbi, Rabbi Chaim Bruck from the synagogue in Bozeman. He's with us Friday, and we'll take your calls and more.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted.
A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nimitz. Well, this week at the Public Lands Council's 57th annual meeting in Flagstaff, Arizona, ranchers from across the West heard informative speakers and worked on important policy for the coming year. Washington rancher Jeff Dawson is chair of the PLC's Wildlife Committee and talked with me about apex predators and how they're really impacting ranchers on both private and public lands.
Oh, I agree, Russell. One of our biggest issues is our wildlife in these western states, how they impact us. You know, the grizzly bear, the reintroduction of that, that's a concern. We're trying to hold that off. And the gray wolf, obviously, is a big concern, and the Mexican gray wolf. So these are all issues that we're working on right now.
He says that's why ranchers and the PLC are working with the Trump administration and Congress on reforming the Endangered Species Act.
It's very important. We've got to keep ourselves in the spotlight on this because we don't want to go down 4 years from now and we haven't made any headway. And so these are big issues that we're focused on tackling right now.
And he says without these federal grazing permits, many ranchers would be forced out of business, which would also be devastating to local communities.
It's very important. Some of these ranches rely on this as 100% their federal lands or their permits, whether it's Forest Service or BLM. Others, depending on what states you're in, maybe to a lesser degree, but it's very important because we're trying to produce a product to feed the American people. And in return, the public lands are furnishing the forage that we're using out there.
Now, keep in mind, today, approximately 22,000 ranchers own nearly 120 million acres of private land and hold grazing permits on more than 250 million acres managed by the U.S. Forest Service and BLM. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
Preconditioning is one of the most important times of the year, and Western Ranch Supply is here for all your fall needs. From rice lake scales, silencer hydraulic chutes, cape feeders, portable loading chutes, and bale beds. Western Ranch also carries the best fall vaccines and porons necessary for a healthy herd. We can deliver everything straight to your ranch. Call us today, 800-548-7270, or visit one of our three locations in Billings and Great Falls.
Pulse Growers Market Access starts with you. From the field to the elevator, it's critical to keep it clean. Follow pre-harvest intervals, use only registered products, and ensure equipment is free from treated seed or residues. Delivering a load with contaminants can lead to costly rejections and jeopardize markets for all of us. Quality isn't optional, it's our shared responsibility. A message from the Northern Pulse Growers Association, working together to protect our markets and your bottom line.
Well, as farmers continue to deal with low commodity prices and high input costs, this week, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins told the Financial Times that the Trump administration could announce an aid package soon for U.S. farmers and could use tariff revenue to fund it. Keep in mind that under the first Trump administration, the USDA used some $23 billion in funds then from the Commodity Credit Corporation to provide trade aid to producers. Her comments come as the National Corn Growers Association warned policymakers this week that nearly a majority of farmers believe agriculture is on the brink of a farm crisis. NCGA noted that farmers are facing the largest three-year decline in net cash receipts in history. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, big thanks to Renee Flynn in Gallatin County for sharing the link. There's a link now available. I'll have to get a story on our Montana Talks website here so that we can share this information with you. But, yeah, October 7th, Turning Point USA, of course, moving forward, continuing to host this American Comeback Tour event at the Montana State University campus coming up on October 7th. So I just RSVP'd for that event. I know many of you are going to want to do the same. But that reminds me, Kyle, yesterday afternoon, I got a chance to drop in at Sykes Diner, well, the Sykes Diner parking lot in Kalispell for the Charlie Kirk Celebration of Life. Incredible event. That young lady, Gracie Stogsdill, if you guys missed her, she's 18 years old. She called in to our show in the 9 o'clock hour to the statewide show yesterday. And, you know, I thought, okay, we'll get this young lady on for a few minutes. You know, she can tell us about the Charlie Kirk Celebration of Life and, more importantly, tell us why she wanted to put this Celebration of Life on for Charlie Kirk. And I thought it'd be a quick few minutes update. And this young lady was so well-spoken, was so on fire that we kept it going for the entire first half of the show. So if you missed it, you got to go back and listen to it on the Montana Talks podcast. But also yesterday, I think it was in this 6 o'clock hour of the show, we got a phone call from Cameron Moylan in Butte telling you about the Celebration of Life that took place last night in Butte as well. I got an email after the event from Cameron in Butte. He says they had about 80 people show up in Butte for a last-minute event put on like that. So that's a great turnout in Butte, America, celebrating the life of Charlie Kirk. All right, these left-wing domestic terrorist groups like Antifa. I heard some, I was listening to Fox News, and somebody had, you know, well, critics say that Antifa doesn't really have a membership list and they don't really have a corporate headquarters. So it might be hard to go after them as a terrorist group. And I remember hearing that. I'm like, what other terrorist organization has published their membership list? What other terrorist organization says, well, here's our corporate headquarters on, downtown Portland, Oregon. I mean, for Pete's sake, is that really their criticism? It's like, well, you know, you can call Antifa a domestic terrorist group, but there's no way you can really go after, Antifa, because they don't have a membership list and, you know, they don't have a corporate headquarters. Oh, like, oh, give me a break. Really, that's your excuse for not going after a domestic terror organization, which is attacking little kids at prayer vigils in Portland, much less fueling all sorts of other violence across America. Give me a break. Jesse Waters had a great monologue on Antifa last night. We'll get there in 60 seconds. All right, here you go. This was actually from The Five. Jesse Waters did have a great monologue on his program on Fox last night, but Jesse Waters, of course, also appears on The Five earlier in the day. That's where he gave his take on Antifa being declared an official terrorist organization.
Well, you're going to have to infiltrate Antifa, so you're going to have some sort of transgender FBI agent go undercover for a while. I don't know if they have that at the Bureau.
It's a great movie.
But they could try it. They've been causing violence and mayhem for a long time, and everyone's treated them like a little nuisance, but they have to be treated seriously. They shot and killed someone out west. They shot a cop. They've punched people in the throats. They've fired commercial-grade fireworks in the faces of federal law enforcement. They laid siege to a federal courthouse. They occupy courthouses. They bomb cop cars. They bomb Teslas. They're not very nice people. It's not like they're doing this for health care reform. They want to overthrow the federal government. That's an anarchist. And anarchists in our history, they've assassinated presidents. They firebombed the townhouses of attorney generals. You got to take these guys seriously. Joe Biden took the threat of white supremacist domestic terrorists seriously and investigated them. Surely we can investigate the domestic terror threat from Antifa, because the money is suspicious. Where do they get the body armor? Why do they always have the best equipment and technology? Why do they look all tacked out constantly? And then when they get arrested, they have bail money and the best lawyers, so they never, ever face any charges. Who's paying the lawyers? That's what I want to know.
All right, great questions there by Jesse Waters. Not just great questions, but great reminders, too, of all of this domestic terrorism that we've seen. So much of this coming from Antifa. Nancy in Roundup on the phone lines. Nancy, good to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Yeah, have a good day, as sad as it is.
I have two talking points, Aaron, and I want to apologize. I couldn't hang on yesterday any longer. But I have two talking points, so I hope I can fit them all in. I want to talk about this ridiculous idea that we have no freedom of speech, and also this idea of the Trump fascism. I just want to say this. We have a whole generation like Tyler Robinson that has grown up hearing these nutcases on the media. And what these people like this Jimmy Kimmel do, they shatter all standards of decency. And I think that we're all pretty much fed up and sick of it all, including, like ABC, who fired Jimmy. I don't think he is fired. I think they just let him go suspended him for a while. And, you know, I see three groups doing the killing in our country. We have illegal aliens, we've got mentally ill transgenders, and then we have Islamic Muslims. And these people invade our country, and they think that we're free. Yeah, we are free, but we still have laws.
Hold that thought. Nancy, I got to take this hard break here. Hold that thought. Nancy, we'll come back to you right after this. Yeah, talking Jimmy Kimmel and much more. Stand by. Want to hear more from you.
They'll fix it.
I got it!
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the Science Fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, a couple of key talking points from Nancy and Roundup here just as we went into that last break. One, free speech. In fact, God, I should. I wish you could have heard my wife Jessica's speech at the Charlie Kirk Celebration of Life yesterday. She also spoke, and that was her whole focus, was about free speech. And we're already seeing this from the left, aren't we, Nancy? Want to get more of your thoughts on Jimmy Kimmel as well. But we're already seeing this from the left, where here's the people who wanted to censor us and censor you from saying anything. Don't you dare talk about Hunter Biden's laptop. Don't you dare criticize mask mandates. But now they want the ability to literally call for political violence, and they claim, oh, well, free speech, free speech, free speech, as they incite violence in America. And anyway, so it's important that you point that out, because the left will use this. They will say, oh, well, now we, if you guys say that we can't incite violence, then we're going to use that as justification to say that you can't say anything. Right, Nancy?
Yes, and, you know, we have become a nation of, you know, I was going to say that our law and order makes us a civilization. And right now, thanks to the far left and people like George Soros, we have become a nation that is split into two different countries. We've got one civilized and one uncivilized. And I want to tell you that this is really some dangerous territory right now. And as far as the Trump fascism, you're right. I was going back to COVID. Well, like AOC, she wanted to put people, Americans, into camps, retraining camps, you know, like they do in China, because they didn't want to wear masks, they didn't want to stand 6 feet apart, or the restaurant closings, and not going to churches and getting together for Thanksgiving. I mean, we all remember this. We're not going to fall for this BS anymore. We're sick of it. And I just want to say one more thing. I know President Trump is so busy, and our government is too, but Ilhan Omar, what she was saying about Charlie Kirk, I'm going to openly denounce this woman. I think she should resign from our Congress. And I know that there was investigations. They found a lot of stuff on it where she could have been and should be deported. But I just want to denounce Ilhan Omar. I am just so disgusted with this woman. I just can't stand her.
She tried claiming that nobody on the left was celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. She is still, even after he was publicly assassinated, she is still calling him horrible, vicious names, false names, by the way. Nancy Mace, Nancy and Roundup, thanks for the call. Nancy in South Carolina, Nancy Mace, the congresswoman from South Carolina. I just shared this at facebook.com/Flint Report. Let's see, Nancy Mace shared a photo of Ilhan Omar. In my country, I am forced to keep my mouth shut, talking about Somalia. But here, talking about the United States, I am free to talk trash about this country in hopes that I can change it to a country where I am forced to keep my mouth shut. Isn't that just interesting? Here is Ilhan Omar trashing America while she praises Somalia. And she trashes America, and she wants to turn America into the very place, the very country that people are fleeing. All right, let's see. Jimmy Kimmel, free speech. Where do we go now? Let's go to the free speech angle here next. Tom Elliott, Grabian Media. Definitely want to give them credit for this. Tom Elliott always shares some incredible video montages as well. Let's see, where did I put it here? Oh, yeah, here we go. And by the way, we've got permission to share these from Tom Elliott and from Graben Media with credit, of course. But he put together an incredible video. If you go to x.com/Aaron Flint, you'll see this. It's about 2 minutes long. I may not play the whole thing for you here, but he has the video clip showing how the Democrats are the party of speech codes and censorship. And what's really cool about the video is you're going to hear, Hillary Clinton. You're going to hear John Kerry. You're going to hear Kamala Harris. And as you watch the video on X, the person who's talking, their face kind of lights up. And then when the next person talks, their face basically lights up so that you can see who is saying some of these outlandish things.
You shouldn't be banned from one platform and not others if you are providing misinformation out there.
There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy.
There are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda, and whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrent.
If people go to only one source and the source they go to is sick and has an agenda and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block. It's really hard to govern today.
This is a matter of corporate responsibility. Twitter should be held accountable and shut down that site. It is a matter of safety and corporate accountability.
The First Amendment is not absolute. It does not protect any single thing anyone says. And there are limits, and that's important. And what this committee has been trying to do for the last year and a half is to chill the federal government from monitoring what is going on social media.
When you look at what Tucker Carlson and some of these other folks on Fox do, it is very, very clearly incitement of violence. Very clearly incitement of violence.
See, they argue that what you say, that just because you disagree with them, that somehow that is dangerous. But when they actually incite violence and call for violence, they argue, no, free speech. But they want to shut you down from sharing information about Hunter Biden's laptop. Somebody else made a great point here. I think I saw this shared on X by Jeremy Carl. It was a post by Pascal Emmanuel Gabri. I'm not familiar with who he is, but he says this: I am a post-liberal, but just for the record, you shouldn't be fired for using the wrong pronouns, but you should be for celebrating political terrorism. It's a perfectly consistent position and perfectly consistent with liberal principles and norms. That's a great reminder. They wanted to fire school teachers if they didn't use the wrong pronouns. If a teacher refused to call a little boy a little girl, they wanted to fire school teachers for that. But if a teacher says, hey, you know what? You deserve to be assassinated because of your political beliefs. Nope, they're all about keeping those teachers in the classrooms. For Pete's sake. All right, what about Jimmy Kimmel? Jimmy Kimmel wasn't fired because of FCC Chairman Brendan Carr, because of President Donald J. Trump. Jimmy Kimmel was fired because his ratings were in the tank, and then eventually Jimmy Kimmel pushed it way too far. And he wasn't telling jokes. He was telling straight-up lies. And also, I mean, so much more. Anyway, that takes me to the other Jesse Waters soundbite that I've got racked up for you here. This one now comes from his program last night.
Jimmy Kimmel was sorry because he had bad ratings more than anything else. And he said a horrible thing about a great gentleman known as Charlie Kirk. And Jimmy Kimmel is not a talented person. He had very bad ratings and they should have fired him a long time ago.
So why'd Kimmel get benched? He falsely framed you for killing Charlie.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
Almost half of ABC's affiliates were threatening to black out his show that night. Advertisers were burning up the phones. ABC executives were getting flooded with emails. Disney boss Bob Iger wanted Kimmel to apologize, but Kimmel said, no way, Bob.
Jimmy wanted to go on his show last night, and in his monologue, I hear that he wanted to address the backlash from the right regarding his commentary about Charlie Kirk's charged killer. And I hear that that monologue was very hot. It very much took aim at MAGA, and that is when the executive said, we can't have him go on the air tonight.
Little Jimmy Kimmel thought he was bigger than Disney, bigger than Mickey Mouse. Charlie Kirk's body isn't even buried, and ABC affiliates are refusing to air his show. They're on the brink of an advertiser boycott, and this guy's not even in first place. And he says, let's go another round. So the boss said, take a breather, Jimmy. You're costing us a fortune and making us look like we don't have a conscience. After the biggest assassination since Martin Luther King, the face of your network can't lie about the shooting and pin it on MAGA.
Yeah, great montage monologue there by Jesse Waters last night. By the way, speaking of Kamala Harris, we played a Kamala Harris soundbite a little bit ago in this anti-First Amendment montage from Tom Elliott. Did you guys hear about Kamala Harris in this new book that she's got out where she gives a reason why she did not pick Pete Buttigieg to be her running mate? Kamala Harris says she refused to pick Pete Buttigieg because he was too gay. That's what she wrote in her book. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. And remember when Jimmy Kimmel celebrated the firing of Tucker Carlson?
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I've never in my whole career have called for anybody's show to be canceled, for anybody to be fired. I've never once in my life called for a boycott. I've experienced all these calls against me in my life, and I'll get to that in a second. But the show was failing spectacularly. His ratings are even lower than Stephen Colbert's ratings, which were pretty low, because these are supposed to be late-night comedy shows, and they've become nothing more but a never-ending, you know, Trump hate shows. And that in and of itself is problematic. There's plenty of that everywhere else, you know, all over the legacy media mob.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Well, surprise, surprise, a little late, but I guess better late than never. The Fed Chair Jerome Powell has now fueled hopes for a rate cut. And guess what? The price of gold, it went higher. Now, safe haven assets like gold and silver tend to move higher when rates are cut. Now, that's exactly why I have partnered with the award-winning company Gold Co. I'm a customer just like you. They sell precious metals like gold and silver, and they do a darn good job with it. They also help educate you. They keep it simple. So if you're ready to learn how GoldCo can help protect your savings with gold and silver, give them a call. It's 855-815-GOLD. On the web, it's HannityGold.com. They will send you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. And you can also learn how you can get 10% in free bonus silver. It's the best silver offer out there. Don't miss this one. 855-815-GOLD or HannityGold.com. One more time, 855-815-GOLD. On the web, HannityGold.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area today, high temperatures will stay in the upper 70s to around 80. Clear and quiet for tonight with overnight lows in the upper 40s and lower 50s. And then the outlook for Saturday does call for more sunshine with highs around 80 in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. And skies stay clear Saturday night with lows in the low to mid-50s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
All right, we've now got an update on our Montana Talks website to a story that we shared with you earlier this week exclusively. Now we have an official response from School District 2 that, yes, they are investigating this teacher, and the teacher has been sent home while they investigate after allegedly this teacher was celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. That full story, go to MontanaTalks.com, or if you've got the Montana Talks app on your phone, you'll see.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
For those of us involved in public policy and political debate, the events of the past week have caused a high degree of introspection, especially when our motivation is based on God's word and our deepest desire is to turn others toward Him. As we engage regularly in some of the most controversial social issues of our day, I find myself asking, am I doing this to the best of my ability? Am I the best person for this job? And finally, am I a help or a hindrance to the cause of Christ? I must admit, things have changed in the past 25 years, but as I reflect on lessons learned, some the hard way, I still see room for improvement. As I speak to the culturally relevant issues of our day, I let two rules guide the discourse. The first comes from the book of Proverbs. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I always strive to find a way to speak the plain, unadulterated truth in a way that keeps the door open for civil dialogue. The second came from G.K. Chesterton when he said that the problem with most Christians is that we don't ask enough questions to know where to properly enter the debate. In other words, we jump to conclusions about our opponents, or worse yet, we just want to be heard and don't care about our opponents at all. Over the years, I've made it a point to have dinner with those with whom I disagree. This would include the former head of the ACLU, a Planned Parenthood board member, and the former longtime head of the Montana Teachers Union. Sadly, in every case, we came away with absolutely zero common ground, but the discourse was so civil that the lines of communication remained open, and I considered them friends. In one instance, I debated same-sex marriage with the head of Montana Pride for 2 hours at the University of Montana Law School. In the end, a lesbian college student came up and said, "I just want you to know that I don't agree with a single thing that you said here tonight, but thank you for not hating us." Sometimes, when you debate someone with a polar opposite worldview, that particular result is the very best you can hope to achieve. Unfortunately, that was then, and this is now. The rules have changed, and not for the better. Gone are the days when organizations like those mentioned above were run by elder statesmen with gray hair. The Capitol is now filled with young lobbyists, either fresh out of college or still in college, or in some cases, still in high school. Civil discourse has been replaced by an attitude that says, win at all cost. The prevailing attitude on the left now seems to be that they don't need to talk to their opponents. They simply need to silence them by whatever means necessary, whether that be by shouting them down or deplatforming them or by threatening to dox them or their families, or even worse, as we just saw in Utah. And what happened to Charlie Kirk was not the first act of extreme violence. It was simply the first in a long chain of escalating events that finally led to the death of a well-known person. In the past few years, my colleagues in other states have had their offices firebombed and holes shot in the front doors of their private homes. As I've said repeatedly over the years, I've been in countries where debates over public policy are settled in legislative chambers where the only weapons are words. And I've also seen firsthand other countries where those same debates are settled with bullets in the streets. We stand at a precipice, and it's time to choose. Will it be words or bullets? I, for one, choose words. It's time to remember that to disagree with someone's views is not to hate them. It is simply to disagree. It's high time that we claw our way out of this hole and reintroduce the art of civil discourse, because physical violence is never the answer. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Lyslofi reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Lyslofi for that update. By the way, he also joined us live. What was it, Tuesday? Or it was Wednesday, I think, at the end of the 9 o'clock hour. So we did a great conversation with him. You can find that on the Montana Talks podcast. Also, go to facebook.com/Flint Report. The Montana Family Foundation, looks like they were in the house at the Charlie Kirk Celebration of Life in Kalispell yesterday as well. They shared some photos. I've got that, including more photos from Flathead 411. Go to facebook.com/Flint Report.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, sticky melody.
Careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.